we go. On a Wednesday, welcome to the Beston and Greenway podcast. Carl Beston here, riding solo today after what was just an absolutely crazy weekend in the NBL. It was a great weekend, don't get me wrong, but it was a wild one, let's be real. The Wildcats losing two games at home. I mean, the Kings won, people would probably say wasn't an upset, but that game against Tasmania, would never have expected Perth to blow a lead in the fourth quarter. Not to mention their drama surrounding the John Brown contract. Will there be an exemption? You know, at the moment he's barred from playing finals. It's an interesting situation. The Kings kind of put the league on notice, I think, on Saturday night, that this is no joke and the streak is real. United getting pounded at home by a resurgent Hawks, another one that maybe could have been expected. Illawarra, we've been waiting, and it appears that they've arrived at the right time of the season. And then finally, Southeast Melbourne, yeah, they took care of business. So it was on the Friday night against Cairns. But yeah, that was a must win on Sunday, really. And they dropped it. So we'll break all of this down today. It's been a huge round. We'll also preview what is coming ahead. Starting tomorrow night with Illawarra and the Bullets. I'll give you my picks of the week later. But let's start with the Cats. I mean, I know everyone kind of wants to talk about this John Brown situation. And, everyone will go get, that's the big issue. That's the big issue. I actually don't think it's the real issue. I think it's how they're playing at the moment. This team does not need Brown to be a title contender. I think it's an ancillary issue for them. And in terms of, I think he helps. He obviously fills some of the gaps that they sort of have, where they're kind of struggling to fit your classic big like Hodgson in the system and being able to guard opposing contenders like Perth with, Melbourne with JLA or Sydney with both Martin and Cook. So that becomes a problem. I get all that. But this team is still stacked and is arguably arguably the best team on paper without him. Maybe I think you can probably make an argument that I'd make the argument the Kings are better now. I'll step back on my position. It's Perth. I actually think it is the Kings. But let's be real. This is a really good team with two of the very best players in the NBL, as well as standout like role players in terms of Blanchfield, Norton, and I mean, Travis is getting NBA talk, So like this team's hardly a minnow of the competition. You go, boy, this team can't get it done. It's better than last year's team. And before the weekend, they've won six in a row, including beating some of the big dog teams like Melbourne United on the road. However, I do get it. On the weekend, they put in two awful performances. And to be honest, I think the Tasmania game was far worse. I agree with Scott Morrison on that. Norton is a huge loss for them. That's the elephant in the room, guys. Like, this team doesn't have a point guard. It hasn't got their leveler. It hasn't got their leader. This team were really rushed and discombobulated on the ball over the weekend. Because if you notice, Melbourne and Tasmania are elite teams at guarding on the ball and creating pressure. Even if the pressure is sort of fake, where it's a lot of energy and it's a lot of show without a lot of go, but it kind of sent the scares, it wasn't a Sunday game, but what they call it, the Sunday scaries into Travers, Kevin White, Zunich, etc. And also the absence of Norton allows teams, and the Kings did a really good job on the weekend on loading up on Bryce and Law and going, you know what, Cats, you come up with an answer for that. You find someone else to beat us. Well, if you watched in previous games, like the Melbourne United tried to do the same at home to the Wildcats. They lost the game, but if you know why, it's because of Mitch Norton. Mitch Norton is possibly the best guard, low post, like cut scorer in the NBL. He has this great nose for getting to the right spot to score cheap points. If you start cheating on him and you start just playing all you're pushing all the chips into the table on Bryce and on Law, right? And I think the Wildcats on the weekend, they couldn't work this out. And if you look, the Kings did a great job of it too. Like, they had to settle for Trevor's threes, the Wildcats on the weekend. He had, what, 8 attempts? Yeah, and that's not optimal when a guy's at, like, let's be real, he's a 20% three-point shooter. He was even below that earlier in the year. He was sub 10%, right? Cotton had less attempts versus Sydney from the field and from the three than what Travers did. Says it all, right? They need Norton back fast. And I think people sort of underrate Norton. He's not like, yeah, he's not the flashiest guy going around. You know, he doesn't wow you with his numbers or on paper, but he's sort of the glue that makes life easier for the big two. And he sets the table for Perth. I don't think his loss is being underestimated at the moment as to what it means for Perth. The Sydney game, I think the Cats can get over, right? They lost to a very, very good team. They were never in it. And they can make some adjustments. They were missing Norton. And they go, you know what? We put a line under that. That's a great team. That's a great team on paper. We didn't have the answers tonight, but we've seen their shot. Now we'll give them ours next. You know, but the Tasmania game was the more alarming one for me because the Cats close games, man. Like, they got Bryce Cotton. They close, right? And they blew a lead against what was, let's be real, not a very good roster on the road. Like, and everyone wants to talk about the Tasmania Jack Jumpers this, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers that. I mean, they're losing to a team that is running with Krizlovich and Jock Perry as their five men. And everyone goes, oh, Perth five's the weakest part. Well, they should be. This team can't give them problems at their weakest point. And they just couldn't get it done. Vic Law missed a couple of key free throws. Granted, he played well on the evening. And he missed a portion of the third with an ankle. And let's be honest, they got absolutely screwed on that review with, what, like a minute 30 to go. That completely changed the game. That was clearly off Kenyon's hand on the replay. I thought it was off Kenyon on the first touch, let alone the second touch deflection off his left hand. That was a joke. I've never seen a road team get a call like that in the NBL. And if that's the best our review team can come up with, might be time to scrap them or get some new people in there, because that was farcical. And it was, I thought it was a blight on the game on Friday night, and it totally shifted the result there, because Perth would have got the ball back, I think about 10 seconds on the shot clock, would have been able to get a cleaner look up, and then instead the Cats go down, they get the ball, Tasmania, then they go collect three on the other end, and then Tasmania are feeling good about themselves, up a couple with a minute to go. It just, you can't have those things happening that flip the games. You know, that could change whether Perth have home court in the grand final series, you know, or it could make the difference between Southeast Melbourne and Illawarra missing out on playoffs for Tasmania. I don't think Tasmania make it, but, you know, I thought it was disappointing. And what I also didn't like about the Perth in that game was their inability to find quality shots down the stretch. And I think that's going to be a major concern going forward in the near term, where they're going to be playing Melbourne on Monday night without Norton, you know. And Tasmania, I get Tasmania get you in the quicksand. Like, they play with the slowest pace in the NBL. And they kind of make it, is it the slowest pace, the second slowest pace? I think they might have the second slowest pace, and I think New Zealand have the lowest, right? Because New Zealand play that dribble handoff, really slow half-court offense. But Tasmania make the game a physical dogfight and keep games close. Roth knows his team does not have the talent to compete with these teams. So therefore, he just wants the fight. You know, he wants the fight. He wants to see. We're not going to beat ourselves, is his philosophy. We're going to keep it close. It's only a 40-minute game, and then we'll take our chances in the end if you choke, right? And they just fight. They fight. And it was a fight which the Wildcats weren't up for. You know, it really wasn't. They did not want the fight. And that was the most disappointing part for me in that result. And I think that was what weighed on Coach Morrison as well, was, you know, that it wasn't, it, there was effort things that went wrong too. And, you know, that just shouldn't be happening in the clutch with a team that is so experienced and has such elite talent. And he made that point very astutely, I think. So what's going, you know, what's the solution going forward for the Cats now? Well, it, you know, it obviously doesn't get any easier, right? And Norton's still out for a couple more weeks. So they're coming up against Melbourne on Monday, where he's going to have to deal with, where they're going to have to deal with Dele, Illy, Bubba will be in the lineup as well. Where they're going to have to orchestrate an offense under duress of intense on-ball defense. And they just haven't been able to address, they weren't able to address that on the weekend. And how, what's the solution to that? You know, it's always good to point out problems without giving solutions, right? Well, it's a very hard thing to solve, right? Because they haven't got a dependable backup point guard. Like, they got someone who can give you a few minutes here and there against a second unit, but against a first unit, it gets a bit worrying for them. So I think it's really, if I'm coming up with a solution, I think they're going to have to do it by committee, right? They're going to have to all work together to get the ball and get into offenses quicker than what they were the other night, and get cleaner looks. So yeah, it's, I mean, you have to get move, you have to generate. I think the big thing for the Cats, I think the key for the Cats, this is just sort of clarified in my mind now, is that the Cats are, you know, it sounds basic, right? But they're going to have to get stops, right? Because if you're taking the ball out of the net, it's allowing Dele, Illy, Bubba to set up and be ready to go. And then they can set their defense, and that's going to be a huge problem, right? But instead, if you can get, take the ball off the rim and push the ball in trans with guys like Cotton and Law, the game changes. And Travis is also very, very good in trans. Like, long, athletic, good handle. He's much better in that situation run fighting in the phone box with Dele. You know, so, you know, they need to be composed in the face of the pressure. You know, they have to stay one chess move ahead rather than being kind of worried about this on-ball pressure. Now, I think it starts with getting stops. And that's the big thing for this team. And not only getting stops, but like cleaning the glass. Get, when you, you know, rewarding good defense by getting, you know, cleaning up the glass as well. I think they just really need to lock in on that and make the game, you know, they can fight with Melbourne. They can get in the grind. And I'm looking forward to it on Monday night. I'm actually fascinated by this game because I think it's game of the year, right? It's in the jungle. I think the crowd numbers are up. Perth fans get there, obviously. But it's going to be huge. It's just going to be a huge, huge evening, I think. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see how each contender responds to their deficiencies that were on display for all of Australia, the entire NBL community to see on, you know, what was Perth's game, Thursday or Friday night? I forget now. It's all a blur. And then on the Sunday, Melbourne got exposed by Illawarra, right? So which team's going to adjust and best? We'll wait and see. But geez, it's going to be a huge game from the jungle. I personally, I can't wait to watch it on Monday night. Get ready for a late one. Bill, have your coffee ready for work on Tuesday morning, because it's, I think we're going to be up late not knowing the result till after, you know, until what will be probably a bit after 11. So it's going to be good. I can't wait for that. Now, on to this. Everyone wants to talk about this Morrison's post-game press conference. I saw some garbage from the NBL that he had to make a submission to explain his actions. If I was Morrison in Perth, my submission would be get stuffed. Right? I don't know what people want from him in that situation. He'd been asked the same questions about John Brown all week. Morrison is not responsible for the situation that the Cats are in with Brown here. He's not the GM or owner of the team. He can't comment on that. He's not involved at the coalface with the agents, etc., working out how to get around this, what's gone wrong, and the mistakes that have been made, right? And yes, they are mistakes, right? I'm sorry, all these people going, no, this was all planned. It wasn't planned. Otherwise, this wouldn't be here right now. They should have moved on this earlier. If there's such a need for the team, then this should have been done correctly. And it hasn't worked out, right? And you can tell on the weekend there what it was a bad vibe, man. But yeah, it's a strange one. He's not really involved in any of these things. So, you know, if I'm him, I'm angry. If I'm the players or Morrison, I'm kind of angered by the missteps and just want to move on with doing my job. What is our team going through to the finals? You know, I also think in the press, because people are like, Carl, you got to see what Morrison says. Like, I'm like, okay, I'll watch a press conference. Like, the press conferences don't offer you a lot, really. I don't think so anyway. You get a few little sound bites for people's articles and stuff, but it doesn't really provide. It's not really instructive in any way. It's only sort of interesting come the playoff times when the coaches start bitching about refs' calls. So then when they go home the next game, they want certain things picked out, etc. They're fun to watch during the playoffs just because you can kind of see the mind game, the Phil Jackson style mind games of the coaches. Like Will Weaver a couple of years ago, Vickerman's known for it too. It's fun, right? But yeah, I think he made a sound point about a lot of the basketball journalism that kind of goes on around the NBL. I put journalism in inverted commas. A lot of people in writing and commenting, etc., about the game don't really understand how the sport is played from an X's and O's perspective, which is what he was getting at. I don't know who asked the question specifically, as it with the Zoom calls, it's kind of hard to. That's one thing I think the NBL should kind of step up in their press conferences, is kind of alerting who's speaking, because maybe I wasn't listening hard enough. I was kind of just having a like a passive listen to it, courtesy of being sent it by our podcast guest from the other week, actually, Dan Ewing. Check out my podcast with Dan as well, it was pretty interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of it going around, and there kind of has been for years. I'm not a fan of the presses for this reason. I don't know who said it, so maybe they played I'm not saying that these people that haven't played the game at a high level in this country can't have an opinion on the sport. Like, shit, I only played NBL one, right? So everyone's entitled to their opinion, but personally, I'm not a fan of listening without without sort of having that background. It's not for me, but it is for others. It's entertainment, right? So I'm not saying that. But at the end of the day, who really cares? Whoever did ask the question is probably going to get some mileage out of it and is going to use it for their own benefit, and good on them if they do, right? It's great for their article in the paper or a podcast or whatever it is, right? But at the end of the day, I kind of get Morrison's frustration. He's been asked about all this all week, and he kind of goes, well, where's my real questions here? Like, I'm a coach. Ask me about the X's and O's. Ask me about what's going on, and you can ask a GM. You can ask an owner about those sorts of questions. And if you want to ask how it's affecting the group, ask the players. Don't ask Morrison. Like, I don't know. It's all a bit, I just find the whole thing. I find press conferences boring. I've said that from the start. I just don't think anything much happens in there, and it's not very exciting, to be honest. But hey, maybe I'm a downer in that regard. I don't know. But and here I am. I'm about to discuss the Browns situation now. I just want to talk about it briefly because I actually don't. I think it's a big deal, but it's not the end of the world for Perth. In regards to his situation, I'm kind of bored of everyone talking about it. The deal didn't get done. Let's move on. Like, it is what it is. It's not like Perth are short on guys. They've got to find ways now that they kind of scheme around it. And that's cool too. Yeah, I am disappointed. Like, he's a really good He's a quality player. The guy's a good player in the EuroLeague. You know, the second best league in the world behind the NBA. It's, and like not even close so far ahead of the other leagues in the world that sit below that. So, it is sad he's not playing. But in my opinion, this is either the Cats have taken a really big gamble here and it hasn't paid off and it's caused some disruption, right? It clearly has. And, you know, or on the other hand, it's sort of a bit of incompetence where they go, well, geez, we just think FIBA are going to clear him anyway and this is just the way it works and that's all good. When you know, like, it's a very unprecedented situation, kind of what's going on at the moment, and you know that that's the reason why he's available, right? But surely doing their due diligence, they would have known, they obviously knew that Brown was still contracted. They obviously knew that Brown was still contracted to Kazan, right? They must have known that, right? And they just bet on FIBA clearing him, and the bet failed. But if you want to do these things, get moving earlier. Don't do it like now. I just think they could have handled this a lot better. And the idea of an exemption just because they failed to undertake due diligence, not knowing that he was still under contract or how that worked. Or secondly, it was just on a bet that they could get it done in that time period and it just failed. I don't think that's acceptable. But pardon me, I just don't think that's right. I think the rules are there. Just we're too late into the season. If we're talking about something in the preseason or something like that, I wouldn't care because you know what? Like, go do your thing. And everyone else has similar opportunities. But yeah, and if other people around the league, like Matt Walsh, who people always want to go after on Twitter, or Chris Pongras, wound up in this spot like this, NBL, the media and NBL Twitter would be smashing them, right? And suggesting that no exemption should be granted and, you know, they made their own bed. But yeah, in terms of the run home for Perth, there are three games against teams who are, let's be honest, their seasons are over in New Zealand, Adelaide and Cairns. And then they've got, I'm just looking now, they've got three games against teams fighting for their life, you know, fighting for their lives, as they put it in the words of the great Brian Gorge, and we're fighting for our lives in Melbourne, Illawarra and SEM. Now, I'm looking at it. I think they sweep the New Zealand, Adelaide and Cairns trio at home. I just don't see a misstep there. I don't see too many more missteps at home from Perth, really, to be honest. I think they'll drop one of Melbourne, Illawarra and SEM. Not sure which one it'll be, but I think they'll drop one. I think they go 5-1 to close the season, which will put them at 19-9. Pretty close to that. I think we're looking at a first place team at like 20-8, and the second and third will be at 19-9. So I think it's going to be tough. Everyone wants to talk about the Jack Jumpers. I don't love watching them, but I got to give them credit. Let's talk about them. I'll be the first to admit, I've been a big critic of the Jack Jumpers. Personally, I think they just play really, really ugly basketball. It's fucking eyesore ugly, right? Like, avert your eyes, look the other way, like looking into a solar eclipse, you know? However, it is ingenious basketball. And I can't credit Scott Roth enough for what he has done with this group. Yeah, his game plan is just... It's ingenious, right? It should be done more, but it's kind of funny that, you know, he's made it sort of mainstream this season. You know, they're playing with the second, I mentioned earlier, they're playing with the second slowest pace in the league. I just checked it up now. It's the second slowest pace. New Zealand are the slowest pace. So they're going to keep games close, right, all the time. It's only a 40-minute game. It's not a 48-minute game, so you can, you know, you can really pound the air out of the ball and just slow it down and get them in the mud. And so they keep these games close and then they bet on their ability to execute and not beat themselves, which they've proven to do. Like they're a very good team at protecting the ball. And they're especially good down the stretcher games as well. And, you know, the proof is in the results too. Like, they've beaten who? I remember seeing on Twitter the other day, they beat Melbourne. I'm just trying to go in my, through my mind here. They beat Melbourne on the road. They beat, well, they obviously beat Perth on the road on the weekend. And they beat Illawarra on the road. And I think they beat the, and they beat the Kings at home too. Like, it was one of Jalen Adams' first games back. You know, that doesn't happen by accident, guys. It's, it, he reminds me a bit of Aaron Fearn. Aaron Fearn did this as well. Right. And, you know, it's not for the casual fan. Like, they'll switch the TV off and go, shit, why did I just watch the NBL? Like, that's, the, you know, the NBA fanboy will go, what the hell am I watching this garbage for? But it's a way in which regional teams with talent deficits can compete in this league. And he's shown it. Fearn did it for years. He was respected but not liked for it, I think. And I expect Roth will do the same, you know, if he remains around for the many years ahead. In terms of Tasmanian's roster, like, it is more of a, it, you know, it's a roster that's greater than the sum of its parts. Majette has, what, he hasn't been spectacular, let's be honest. As many pundits declared prior to the season that this guy would be an all NBL player and all this sort of stuff. He's been rock solid running the team. Not great though. Like, he's been okay. He's been good. Good. I think good is a fair adjective to describe him, right? Josh Adams becoming a prolific perimeter scorer, I did not see coming. I saw this, it was really funny. This guy was hyped up as the guy who attacks the rim, will throw down insane dunks all season, but couldn't really shoot the three, right? And he's been quite the opposite. He had this massive dunk in game one. And then he hasn't really had much in the way of aerial acrobatics since. And in game one, he looked terrible from the perimeter. And now he's a good perimeter three-point shooter. It's, yeah, it's come as a shock to many. And I put me in that, including me in that bracket of people who are shocked. But good on them. And I also, Jack McVay too, like, just a really good guy to have on your team. I think he fights every possession. He can score the ball, like, you know, he hits big shots in big moments. You know, like, everyone wants to talk about most improved this year. I reckon he's right up there too. He's been excellent despite a slow start to the year. He's really come into his own. And I think he's an interesting character to have around the NBL. I rate Jack McVay. Run home. Let's do run home of these guys. So, looking at it, never say never. But geez, you know, they got games against United, Sydney, and Southeast Melbourne. The Sydney and United ones are at home. Maybe they sneak one. And SCM is on the road. They'll lose that. Jeez, they're going to have to win 5 out of 6 coming home to make it. That's going to be tough. Insurmountable. Not sure, actually. Could it be done? Could be done. But, you know, so they're going to beat... Let's go through this one by one. Let's break it down, guys. Adelaide at home. Adelaide on the road. Tough call. Let's give it to them. Tasmania home to Sydney. It's winnable. But, yeah, like, I put that in the 50-50 category. Then they've got Cairns at home, win. New Zealand... essentially a home game, win. Southeast Melbourne on the road. No, not a win. And Melbourne at home. 50-50 again. I think they'll lose to the Kings and United. So 3-3. I think they're going to wind up with a respectable 15-13 record. Pretty good for a first year in the NBL. Let's be honest, it's pretty good. But yeah, we'll move... Let's move forward. Let's talk about the Wildcats' other opponent, actually. The Sydney Kings. They rung the alarm on the weekend to the rest of the NBL. I know, like, there were people who thought that the Kings would win in a jungle. I know, because those people were calling me all week telling me they were going to win. I'm just like, yeah, you know, they're a shot. But I'm reticent to always, you know, pick against Perth in the jungle. But if you're ever going to pick against them, it was, you know, with the Kings, with Adams, red hot, like going into that building playing a Norton-less Wildcats coming off a game a couple of nights before. It was a situation in which the Kings were, you know, if they were going to beat them, that was it, right? So I don't think the Kings winning was an upset, so to speak. It is an upset of the mine on the minor scale. Let's say that they went in there and kicked their ass, right? I don't think people saw that coming because Perth rarely just gets smacked around. You know, they lose close games on their home floor sometimes, but they rarely get smacked around there. I don't really care if they win by one or win by 30. I think that's largely irrelevant, as I've always sort of maintained on the pod. But let's be real, the Kings were spectacular. The team's roster is stacked. Jalen Adams is the biggest contender to Bryce Cotton's MVP status that we've seen in years. The guy's a stud. You know, to win a title, you have to have a guy that you can throw the ball to in key moments and they'll come up big. You know, Perth have Bryce Cotton. Last year it was Landell for Melbourne United. You know, just check out, what was it, game three against Southeast Melbourne. He just took over when United looked like they were done. Just put the team on his back. Now the Kings have Adams. You know, he's averaging well over 20 points a game. I think it's like, let me just check the numbers on my phone here. Okay, he averages 20 and a half points per game. And he's also leading the league in assists at 6.1. MVP chance at Kudos. I wouldn't complain if they were, because, you know, you can't praise this guy highly enough. And he's the most, I think he would, he's probably been the most entertaining player we've had in the league this year, and the most outside of like Cotton as a whole in recent memory. And I just hope these guys stay in the league for a long time. I really like this mix that they've got at the Kings. Cooks and Martin. I know Cooks was on injury, you know, minutes restriction on the weekend, so we didn't get a full idea of that. But like that front court is the best in the league. I don't want to hear anyone else mentioned as a best in the league front court apart from those two. I think it's, as a combo, it's just, it, you have two guys who are putting up all NBL numbers on the same front court. Wow. You know, it's, and that's why, this is why Perth wanted to make a move for Brown, because they see that coming in the finals. They're going to, you know, they're going to have to go through Sydney to get there, maybe in the first round. So, you know, they got to have some answers. Can they do that? Maybe they can do that with Law at the five, Travers / Wagstaff at the four. Maybe, you know, or in Blanchfield at the four, guarding Cooks. You know, it'll be tough, but, you know, they have to probably schematically find ways to get around it. My query with Sydney, if we're pointing out negatives, is the pace and space offense. You know, will it hold up come playoff time? They can get a little bit slow and, you know, in the half court at times, and we saw that early in the year where they went on like stretches where they couldn't score, like you go through 3 minutes where they couldn't score the ball. But it's a lot prettier now, right? Because they've got a health, Adams is all good, healthy at the point, and now you've got elite wing shooting with DJ and Clark. The question is going to be when Wani's on the floor. Wani's an elite defender, but the perimeter shooting falls off a little bit. Do teams help off him, scheme off of him to then throw more cover at Adams, the other scorer, etc., the bigs? It'll be interesting to see, because he's probably the help-off target on the three-point line. Can he burn them? We'll wait and see, yeah, but that's probably what you're living with against the Kings. But again, if that starts happening, I think they got to go with Clark in that. They got to go small ball and then just hope and pray that the bigs can bail them out. But yeah, so let's do a, you know, they just need to maintain this 3-point shooting is essentially what I'm saying with that offense. It looks great at the moment, and they have elite, they have two of the best, very best shooters in the NBL in Vasiljevic and Clark. And I don't see that ending in a hurry. But it's a real, like, you know, but if you start putting Wani in there now, and I love Wani as a player, I think he's another one that, needs to be in most improved conversation. But that, yeah, they can give this thing a shake, I think. So run home for the Kings. Let's go. It's going to be tough to win in Tasmania this weekend. There's going to be some home cooking going on. I'm predicting a degustation menu of home cooking on the weekend. Gordon Ramsay will just about be there himself, like doing the, you'll see him, you know, like cooking up behind the scenes there. But it's going to last a whole afternoon, you know, and a long lunch, you know. It's kind of what it will be. It'll be a long lunch in Tasmania starting at 1 o'clock of home cooking. But, you know, these are the games you've got to win regardless if you're a contender, right? You've got to go in there and you just got to punch them in the gut. Punch them in the mouth, really. You know, and Illawarra did that on the weekend, like where it's like, you know what? Like, you're at home. We don't care. We're just going to come and lay the smack down on you and it's over. Like, there's nothing. There's no, you know, we're shutting down the kitchen. Yeah, then nothing can happen to us. So you just got to go out there and do that. And I think there's a chance they will. Looking at the rest of their record, I think there's going to be a home road split with Illawarra, right? So I think there's going to be a loss against one against Illawarra. I think they're going to win out with their... So let's go. Tasmania... That's 50-50. We'll leave that to the last one. Adelaide, they'll beat on the road. New Zealand, they'll beat on the road. Adelaide, they'll beat at home. And they'll split with the Kings. And they'll beat... they'll split with the Hawks. And they'll beat Cairns on the road, I think. So we got there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... So we got 5 wins, and then so if they beat Tasmania, I reckon the Kings are going. If they beat Tasmania, the Kings will go 20-8. There you go. That's my pick. If they lose, we're looking at 19-9. They're still getting in anyway, but if they go 20-8, like top spot's in play. Which is what they'll want. Everyone knows that. You want to go in home court the whole NBL playoffs. So going to be huge. It's a pretty soft run home. You just got. But the thing for them is they're going to have to get the job done on the road. They've been doing it well lately, and I just don't see the way this team is really entertaining too. They're a joy to watch. If you're new to the NBL out there, if you're going to watch one team this weekend, watch the Sydney Kings. They're electric. Let's do Melbourne. Boy. They got their pants pulled down on Sunday and just right in front of the nation in that primetime Sunday afternoon slot. Don't get me wrong. The data on Melbourne United is magnificent. Right? Their net efficiency rating, you know, they're the best team in the NBL per the data. But my question about Melbourne is they just don't have that superstar closer that they can throw the rock to down the stretch to create their own shot and create for others. They just don't have it. Chris is great coming off pin downs, off staggers. He's fantastic. But, he's limited probably to 2 or 3 dribbles. Like, it's not Bryce Cotton. It's not Jalen Adams. It's just not, right? So... he can do it, but Melbourne's going to have to do it more by committee. They got veteran leadership, right? And they got hardened playoff experience. You know, their backcourt is that good. Dele's value's been undersold. I've said it all year. I think he's shooting in the mid 30% from three. It's like the same as Chris, but he's been shooting it better than Chris, I think. And he's the best perimeter defender in the league. But again, you know, can you rely on it? Not 100% sure. They got a dual threat at center with Lual Akil. Someone sent me a thing to pronounce it correctly. It's not Akil, whatever. We'll call him JLA. and Ariel Hakpoti. Agard is a wild card. I think he can be better than what he's shown. I actually think he's a decent piece. It just hasn't... It's clicked some games that hasn't clicked in others. Bubba adds a quality rotation piece. However, they sort of already have Goulding. I won't say Goulding anymore, even though it was Goulding forever while he was playing in the Seabull, etc. Everyone knew him as that. Goulding, Agata, and Illy, you know, sharing those two spots already. So who loses out? I'm asking United fans, if Bubba is the huge piece, right? Like everyone's going, Bubba this, Bubba that, the cotton stopper. I hear the cotton stopper. No one stops Bryce Cotton, right? No one, let alone Udai Bubba. It's not happening. It's Bryce Cotton. Spare me the cotton stopper. Jesus. You know, my question about Bubba, Bubba's a nice player, right? But my question is, like, where does he, whose minutes does he take? Goldings, Agardas, or Illies? Whose? And you'll say Brad Newley, but Brad Newley plays a minimal role as it is already. And to be honest, he's had a pretty good year. So I'm not sure you want to, he's been very good of late, so I'm not sure you really want to can him and leave him with a warm-up top on all game. So, like, where do the minutes come from without taking away from those other guys? And I think this is the strength in Melbourne's lineup, right? Everyone talks about the bigs, but, I, you know, like, the guards are where it's at. They've got Dele, Goulding, Agata, and then with Illy as a rotation piece. I don't get it. I don't get where they think, everyone thinks Melbourne's going to, Bubba's just going to add to this massively. I just, he'll be a nice addition, don't get me wrong. But, you know, hey, who do you take away from? One thing that the data tells us about this team is that they rely on pace. They push the ball harder up the floor than any other team. The pace figures are actually really, really interesting. Will this, the game slows down in the playoffs, right, guys? So will this still work? That's the question. Will this, like, creating stops and getting out in trans work? When teams, like, let's be real, in the playoffs, teams become a lot more careful with the basketball. They generally try and get their guys healthy so they're ready to go. There's less injuries around the key ball handlers. Let's see. Not sure. Goulding. Goulding is a game breaker, you know. I'll always believe. I've probably copped more shit online for my belief in Chris Goulding than anyone. But I'll admit his numbers are down this year on last year, right? I think he's shooting a three around 34% last time I checked. I haven't checked of late, but I'll have a check again. I checked a couple of weeks ago. It's like, I think it was about 33-34%. Well, you know, that's not bad. He's shot like close to 40. I think he, from memory, last year he shot about 38-39%. You know, this is his lowest percentage that I can remember. And you can kind of see it, right? Like, you watch the games and you can see it. And it's his, you know, from both the three and generally, it's, I think it's his worst shooting year in a long time. I think he recovers. I think he's a big game player. But you need him coming off picks, etc. You don't want him going one out ISO. So, and I think they make... Copes and he'll make a very good point of this in the podcast. On the broadcast, they make a very good point of this where they say United needs to run more for Chris because it's not good once Chris starts going outside of the system for his shots, right? That's when there's a bit of a problem. So that's going to be interesting. How they play with that. Jack White averages, he's another guy that everyone raves about, like, say Melbourne's got the best front court in the NBL. No, they don't. Jack White averages like what, 8 and 6? Let me pull the numbers up. Let me put, and I know he contributes more than what the stats say, et cetera, et cetera. I get that, right? But when we're comparing it to Xavier Cooks and Jarrell Martin, like, let's get real, right? Like, let me just pull up the stats here. Sorry for the lack of preparation in regards to this, but I thought I better, if I'm going to make this claim, I better back it up quickly here. But I just think it's a weak position. There's nothing wrong with Jack White. Jack White's a very serviceable, very good defender, very good team guy. I think he's great. But when other teams that you're competing with feature players like Vic Law, Xavier Cooks, Mitch Creek, etc., you know, it's a tough sell, right? To go, well, I'm excited about that relative to Vic Law. Like, Vic Law put a beat down on him for like 20 and 17 last time they played. So I'm not as sold as everyone else on this. I think that's fair to say. I'm trying to find the stats here. It's hard. I'm going down the list of the top scorers in the NBL. Hold on 1 second. Jeez, I really should have done. I can't find it at all. Let me just pull up the numbers. Yeah, so I think it's, I know where he is in rebounds, so we'll do that. But no, I just think there's a positional weakness there for Melbourne relative to the other contenders. You disagree with me if you want, but sorry, yep, he's averaging 9 points and 6 boards a game. It's just not, like, it's good, but I don't want to hear best front court in the NBL when another team has Cooks and Jarrell Martin. Don't want to hear it. It's a point of weakness for United. Their depth is really good, though. I will say Melbourne's depth is really good, but rotation's short in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. Melbourne are a title contender. Don't get me wrong. They're a title contender. I don't have them above Perth or Sydney at this stage. I kind of think it's all... it's going to be interesting. It's going to be luck of the draw, too. I wouldn't want to finish second or third. You know, you want to avoid having to go through either Perth, a combination of Perth, Melbourne and Sydney to win it, if that makes sense. Like, if you're Melbourne, you don't want to have to go through Sydney in round one and then Perth in round two. It's going to be hard. And the same goes for the other teams. If Sydney, you don't want to go Perth, Melbourne. You just don't. You want to only have to play one of your other members of the big three. But yeah, there you go. That's Melbourne United. Illawarra. They took them to the cleaners, didn't they? Jeez. You know, this is a team that's been... This team is loaded in talent. And you feel like all that we've been waiting on is for Tyler Harvey to kind of get back in his groove. Reith is elite. I think Reith is a... Coming into the season, I thought Reith is a better player than JLA. That's my opinion. Yeah, he hasn't shown it, really. I say more kind of because of the fit and the offense and, you know, how they operate. And it might even be a little bit on him as well, as, you know, it kind of appears like he's kind of wanting to show that stretch big game for NBA scouts. And, you know, for this reason, his numbers might be down a bit, right? He's had some great games. He's had some average ones, right? But there's a reason why this guy was picked for the Boomers, right? And he played minutes. So, he's legit, man. Like, I kind of would be banking on him. With him, Harvey, Jessup, Cleveland, Froling, XRM, this team's in the mix. They're in the mix. There were a lot of people's favorites earlier. They weren't mine. There were a lot of people's favorites, and I understood why. And they are there right now. Cleveland's defensive intensity has been out of this world. It's completely turned this team around. He's unbelievable when he's on. He can go after Scott Roth all he wants. You know, he can challenge Scott Roth to a steel cage match if it means he plays like this. I love that. I love the energy this guy is bringing. I said after the Scott Roth And this is why Derek Rucker goes, oh, no, you know, you can't, it's a hypocrite. He can't take, let them fight, I say in the fashion of that meme, whatever, from, was it Godzilla or whatever, right? Let them fight. If this means I get the best out of Cleveland, this means I get the best out of Scott Roth. Let them go at each other. If Cleveland wants to mock him, great. If Scott Roth takes exception to it and is not happy, that's cool too. Let Antonius be Antonius and let Scott be Scott and let's roll, right? I love this. I love that from both guys. You know what's really funny too? I was looking at the numbers the other day. Illawarra have a higher net efficiency rating than Sydney. Kind of shows what sometimes you can just throw the data in the bin, can't you? Really? Like, it is funny. It is funny, some of the little anomalies it throws up. But, you know, that's a strange one. But, yeah, as I said before, you know, a team with Harvey, Jessup, Froling, Reith, XRM coming off the bench, you know, and Gorgon's coaching them, right? It's the GOAT is coaching them. That's a team I want to avoid. Shit, I don't want to play anyone in the top four. To be honest, I'm going to want to play them either. I don't want to play anyone, to be real. I even think Southeast Melbourne are very good. I think the top five this year are all outstanding teams. They're just, they're really high quality teams with the three import rule back in effect. I do think these teams are stacked. Illawarra especially have taken advantage of that rule and have Sydney. Like, it's just these teams, they're fucking good, right? Like, these guys are fantastic. And you see what they did to, they embarrassed United. That wasn't even close on Sunday. Now, looking at Illawarra's run home, it's really a murderer's row of teams, to be honest with you. Tomorrow night's a must win at home against the Bullets. They can't drop that. If they drop that, I think they're in some serious trouble. I don't think they will. I think Brisbane have checked out. I think it's let's move on to next year for them. Then they got, especially on the road, like teams like that put up fights at home generally. They don't on the road. The Kings twice in a home and away split. Let's give them one of the home and away split, I think. I think they'll win the home game and then lose in Sydney. That might be interesting that last day, though, because Sydney might be in a position where they can just chill. You know, I don't think they will. It's still a crosstown rivalry, and they'd want to keep Illawarra out just for the, you know, the we run this state sort of thing. Perth on the road as well. Oh, boy. It's a tough run. Looking at the odds too, $1.10 is way too short for the four for Illawarra. Don't get me wrong, I think they make it, and I think they probably split the remainder, you know, in terms of games. I do think so. Let's break this down game by game here. Let's do this. I'm just going to pull up the Illawarra schedule. We'll start with tonight, right? So I think we can all say we think they're going to beat Brisbane at home tonight, and if they don't, then they probably don't deserve to make the playoffs. I think Brisbane will check out, as I said. Next game is then Melbourne on the road. I think that's a loss. I just don't think Melbourne lose at home to the same team twice in a week, unless there are real problems there. I just think that team, it's tough to beat good teams like Melbourne on the road if you're Illawarra. Yeah, then they get Brisbane again, which is on the road. That's a tougher assignment because these teams often crowd gets behind them. You know, they can cause some issues. I think that could be tough. Let's give Illawarra the win in that one. But wow, that's not the easiest win going on the road. Kings at home will give them the win. Cats on the road will give them a loss. Kings on the road will give them a loss. So let's say So win against Brisbane, that's 1-1 on the road home. Loss to Melbourne. That Brisbane game in Brisbane's pivotal. We'll give him the win. So we'll go 2-1, beat the Kings at home, 3-1. Lose to the Cats on the road, 3-2. Lose to the Kings on the road, 3-3. So that would leave them with a 3-3 record coming home. And I think that's being fair, if not generous. That'll leave them at 17-11. If they drop either of the Brisbane games, I think they're gone. Right? I think they're curtains. So, you know, will 17-11 say they do? I think 3-3 is fair. 2-4 is a possibility. Does that get them in? We'll have to wait and see. I just don't think it's $1.10 to get in. Let's just say that. Like, you're better off taking your odds on them winning some of their games than taking the $1.10 to make the playoffs. That's not sure about that one at all. Moving on from that, let's do Southeast Melbourne, who are actually $7 to get in. I'm not saying they get in, but I'm not sure it's $7, because if you look at the schedule, it's not that bad. So don't count out the Phoenix yet, guys. I wouldn't count them out yet. They're going to get wins at home against Cairns. No, sorry, they're on the road to Cairns. They'll beat Cairns this week. They'll beat New Zealand on the road. They'll beat Tasmania at home, and they'll beat Adelaide at home. So that gives them 4 wins, right? So that's 4 wins of their remaining. They're already, you can pencil in 4 wins of the remaining 6, right? Then they've got road games against Melbourne. They've got the throwdown next week. And then they've got Perth in the last Sunday of the season. I think they've got a puncher's chance in the throwdown. I really, really do. I think they've got a real chance in the throwdown. Especially if Ryan Brockhoff comes back, they're a legit chance, I think. I'd give him a real shot. But yeah, Southeast Melbourne just got to win one of those two and become Sydney and Brisbane fans in relation, you know, for the next few weeks to get the job done against Illawarra. You know, they just got to hope Illawarra get eliminated. So in regards to Southeast Melbourne, what their issues are, etc., I think this team struggled all year to find an identity, especially at the guard spot. Like, he likes to play Adnam, he likes to play Liafa, and then that also interferes with Munford, who's had a really, really good season. I think he's averaging about 16 a game. He's had a pretty good season, especially given there's been, people talk about his lack of consistency, but there's also a lack of consistency in his role. So it's a tough one. I think they've got to play through him coming down the stretch. Mitch Creek is a great player, obviously, but it's very hard to dominate games at the 4. When you know, I mean, he's really a 3-4. He's not that tall. He's 6'4", 6'5". But yeah, it's a tough situation there, I think, for them to get in. But, you know, they've got to rely heavily on Mumford and Creek. Got to hope Brandon Ashley stays out of foul trouble, because I think he does provide them with a lot in the on-ball situation. Hopefully they can get some low post scoring out of Joe Chi as well. And you can run him against point guards who don't shoot the ball quite as well. It's going to be interesting run home for them. I think the issue for them is Brockhoff's injury has been huge. I know his numbers aren't amazing at 11-7, but they really lack depth of that at that position. If you look at it, it's really, so what, like Ruben Tarangi's probably going to have to play bulk at that time. And there's nothing wrong with Ruben Tarangi off the bench, right? And there's a, you know, a bit part role player, but I just don't want to be, I don't want to be relying on him having to hit big shots like I am on Brian Brockhoff, right? Like, I know Brockhoff's only been shooting, what, like mid-20s from the 3 this season, but you kind of feel like he still feels dangerous. I don't feel overly scared about Ruben Tarangi. Just don't. And I think that's a problem with the Phoenix. They just got these guys that, you know, they're nice role players, but, you know, like, they need more. They need a third guy behind Mumford and Creek that the team can depend on, and they have missed that in Ryan Brockhoff. They need some big games out of Mumford. They need Cam Glidden to come up huge. They need these. They need to find scoring elsewhere that can bring them out of the rut. And this team, it struggles. It has struggled a little bit. But again, they generally, apart from that Adelaide game, they're pretty good at beating bad teams. So I think that holds them in good stead coming home. I read today that Brockhoff may return for the throat. I heard when someone sent me a message saying that they reckon Brockhoff will play next week. And what do I reckon? I reckon he's due. Apparently he's been getting some shots up. He's ready to go, I think. We'll see what happens. But fingers crossed he can get out there and play in the throwdown. It will make the throwdown huge. All that I know is, like, what a huge week of basketball we've got. Not, I know that's next week, but what a huge week we've got coming up within that stretch. So you've got the Melbourne and Perth game on the Monday night, which is just mammoth. You've got Melbourne and Illawarra this weekend as well. Tasmania and Sydney, another one that's just going to be electric. And then we go into the Melbourne go from Perth on Monday to the throwdown on Thursday. It's just a smorgasbord of great games, guys. Like, you know, I spoke about the degustation menu of the home cooking, you know, that I'm expecting on the weekend in Tasmania. Well, you're being given a feast of great basketball over the next week. It's just going to be insane. It's going to be an insane few weeks coming home. And it's just great that teams like Illawarra and that are going to be playing like other contenders. It's going to be huge. Southeast Melbourne, to close up on them, I wouldn't give up on them yet. I know a lot of people are down on them and they go, they're finished. Like, this is piss poor. Like, but I wouldn't give up. I actually think they're still well and truly a shot. I don't think they're as talented as the Hawks. And to be honest, I think the rest of the top four will probably be hoping they get in instead of the Hawks. But I just think this team, it's a gritty team, man. They're from the, you know, they're from the eastern suburbs. They're from the outer east. This team knows how to fight. They'll fight. I think they're a tough, I think, you know, they'll well and truly be in the conversation for fourth right up until that last game. And I wouldn't rule them out making it, to be honest. So I think it's going to be huge. Mumford and Creek's time, you know, they'll show out. We just need a couple of others just to get involved and hit some corner threes, hit some threes from the 45 just to keep the scoreboard ticking over and to reduce the pressure on them a little bit. Also need Ashley to crash the boards, you know, and Creek to get some own boards and some cheap points, to find some cheap points for himself too, rather than having to work so hard to get, you know, to get all of his buckets. This is going to be exciting. I think they'll send a message this week. They'll beat Cairns and then we'll be ready for the throwdown next week. All the chips on the table. I can't wait for that. Now, what would an episode of the Best in the Greenway podcast be without the famous picks of the week, right? Let's go. Let's do this. Who we got this week, guys? Hawks and Brisbane tomorrow night. Got the Hawks. They're not going to throw away that game. They just can't. This is not... Brian Gorgian is back. Break out the Diet Cokes. The Hawks get this. I'm pretty sure... I wouldn't touch the line in this one, but I do think the Hawks will get the job done. Just, I think it will be like a 6 or 8 point game. That's not just, but like, it's, you know, they're going to be, it's going to be tough. Adelaide against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers in Adelaide. I actually think this is one of the toughest games of the weekend to pick. It's either this or Perth and Melbourne for me that are the toughest. I'm riding with Tasmania. There's just this feel of momentum that is going with them. Adelaide technically match up really, really well with them because they have guys like Daniel Johnson who really work well against the Tasmania. Let's slow it up. Let's make it grit and grind for 40 minutes. Daniel Johnson can go with that. He loves it when the game slows down and gets into the half court. Same as Mitch McCarron. I think Adelaide match up really well, which is why... I don't think they've lost to Tasmania this year. point, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let me know. I don't remember a loss to Tasmania this year from Adelaide, yet I'm picking the Jack Jumpers. I just think they find the way somehow in this one. And, you know, Adelaide, the season's winding up. You know, this is a tough one. Actually, you know what? Let's flip it. I'm taking the Adelaide 36ers in a nail biter at home against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Next game, Melbourne and the Hawks. This is huge. Melbourne aren't getting disrespected on their home court 2 weeks in a row. There's no way. Dean Vickerman's in their ear all week. The arrival of Udai Baba, you know, well, he's already arrived, but you know what I'm saying. The Udai Baba taking the court will provide energy in the crowd. I think this team will be pumped and ready to go. They were embarrassed last week. This is a team that is tough. You know, for all that I say about them not having the same amount of talent as other teams, this is as tough as any other team in the NBL. They grind, they fight, and they know how to do that. They're a really good basketball team, and they're full of pride, and they really battle hard. And I think Melbourne, I just don't see them as talented as the Hawks are. It's so hard to beat Melbourne in Melbourne 2 weeks in a row. I just can't see it. I think Melbourne win this. I actually think Melbourne win this, you know, in the high single digits. I think they're pretty comfortable towards the end. United get it done. And I think Goulding, Agata and Delhi just get the job done in this one and we move forward. But they can't rely on JLA versus Reith. The guards have got to come through big this week, guys. The backcourt, the vaunted backcourt, which I rate and I think is the strength of Melbourne United, have to come up big, have to lock up Harvey, and then Chris has got to get it going, and so do the other guys, so does Agata. Let's go. Next game. Who we got here? We got Cairns and Phoenix. I struggle to watch Cairns, let's be honest. The Phoenix win this. The Phoenix aren't going to, again, Phoenix are in title contention. This is still a tough team. They're going to push. They're going to try and get this done, and it's going to be pretty basic, I think. The Cairns just don't have the talent to match up with the Phoenix. We move on. Cairns, Phoenix winning this. What do they call it up there? It's not the snake pit because that's what Illawarra, but we'll call it. They win up north, right? The Phoenix win up north. Tasmania and Sydney. This is another insanely difficult one to pick, right? Because there's going to be home cooking. Let's be real. Like, we all know it. As I said, Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen. It's not just Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be Jamie Oliver. If we want to throw some people locally, you know, George Columbaris will rock up. Gary Meehan. It'll be like the cast of MasterChef, sans Matt Preston, right? They're all going to be there. But it's, you can't argue with Sydney's talent, right? You just can't argue with it. They're stacked. So I'm going with the Sydney Kings. I think they have the talent to move at Tasmania out of their grit and grind approach. I think they'll push the floor. Their pace is pretty good and they're going to get stops. So let's go. I'm picking the Sydney Kings. They're on a roll. Let's go, Sydney. Next game is Brisbane and Adelaide in Brisbane. Home team, in a battle of two teams in finals contention, take the home team because they generally have the motivation. I'm taking the Brisbane Bullets in front of their home fans, who always show up and give them their best. So I'm saying the Bullets give them their best on Sunday and they win. Let's go. Monday night, New Zealand and Cairns in Tasmania, down in the Apple Isle. Again, I don't think Cairns are very good. New Zealand are showing some fight late. I'm picking New Zealand in this one. Again, like Cairns away from home, I can't pick. New Zealand has more talent. Let's go New Zealand. Big one. Let's go. The Rumble in the Jungle, right? We've got Perth and Melbourne on Monday night. This is huge. Everything on the line. Scott Morrison. You know, like, this is a chance just to shut a hell of a lot of people up. I think it's a really, I can't wait for this game. And Melbourne United get to prove their credentials away from Melbourne, or was it John Cain Arena now? You know, good on the Labor Party for naming a stadium after one of their own. But yeah, I'm going to call it the Melbourne Arena. Melbourne have got to prove their, you know, prove themselves away from there against the Cats in the Jungle. It'll be huge. I think I'm giving Perth the edge here. I just think that Cotton, Law, they're going to show up. Do they lose? How many have they lost in a row now? Three, right? I just don't see another loss from Perth at home. Maybe they will. The only issue for me is the backcourt is going to be cop so much pressure from Delhi, Illy and Bubba that I'm not sure that Zunic, White and Travers can face it. I wouldn't bet this game. I wouldn't pick it at all. Obviously, none of this is financial advice, etc., right? And gamble responsibly, guys. I wouldn't pick this game. I'll pick it for the sake of the pod, but this is just a sit back, enjoy your Monday night before work on Monday. It is. I'm picking the Perth Wildcats just because it's Perth. It's at home. Their back's against the wall. Everyone's calling them out. I got Perth. In this situation, you always take Perth, right? I think Melbourne win on Saturday. Then they go on Monday and they go, you know what? Let's get ready for the throwdown, lads, on a Thursday night, and they'll be ready for that. And Perth win this game. There you go. Picks of the week. So I've got the Hawks, Adelaide, Melbourne, Phoenix, Sydney, Brisbane, New Zealand, and Perth. And there you go. That's another episode done and dusted. It's the Beston and Greenway podcast. You know the drill, guys. Subscribe. Give us a 5-star review if you haven't already. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carl Beston. That's it. See you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be huge. Get ready, guys. It's going to be massive. Can't wait for Monday night. I'll see you guys. I'm actually probably going to record a pod on Monday night after the Perth and Melbourne. Actually, probably not on Monday night, given Perth and Melbourne's going to be a very late hour. I'll try and record one on Tuesday evening. We'll either be up late Tuesday or you'll have it on Wednesday at least by the latest. So I'm looking forward to it, guys. Going to be huge. Hope you enjoy the pod. Send through any feedback, whatever. Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy.